no, he'll never, never let me down. He's just a jewel. Oh, Lord, that I found him. On sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, that I love to praise his. Come on, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God, I love to. Come on and sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love to praise it. And you know that I love. You know that I love. You know that I love to praise his holy name.
Amen. Well, he's my rock.
He's my rock.
He's my rock.
My sword and shield.
He's a wheel.
He's a wheel.
Yes, in the middle of a wheel.
I'll know he'll never.
Yes, he'll never let me down. He's,
he's
just a jewel. Yes, that I have found. Let's sing hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Well, I love to praise it. Let's sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I love to praise. Let's sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise his name.
Oh, yeah, I love
to praise
in the morning. I love
to praise
in the evening. I love to praise
his
holy name. Amen. 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 Good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. How you doing? Sound good. God is good. Thank him for blessing us to be here today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you come by way, our way, by way of visitors, if you're visiting with someone you're in the city, you're passing through, a relative invited you, thank you for choosing to attend the Fifth Ward Church of Christ this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're tuning in by way of television, by way of live stream, if you're in the city, if you're out of town, if you're out of the country, God is good. Thank you. Thank you. May God bless you and keep you where you are. Thank God that technology can be used for good, to bless those. We know that there are even some who are worshiping with us this morning. I've talked to a few people over the past few months to say that they actually have conduct their worship service at the same time we do through way of live stream. And we thank God that they're able to do that. Some of you may not realize, but there are a lot of congregations, there are many congregations who don't have a preacher, who don't have a preacher, and they're looking for preachers, and there's a shortage of preachers, qualified preachers. And so you pray for these congregations, pray for the members, pray for the remnants who hold it on to God's unchanging hand. And we appreciate them for tuning in. This morning, I want to dive right into my lesson. I want to start a lesson series of just for probably maybe a month or so. And I want to deal with the family. I want to deal with the family. And I hope, I wish that, you know, one of Satan's primary tools is to destroy our families. And I tell you what, he's doing a good job. He really is. He's doing a good job in the world, and he's doing a good job in the Lord's church. And I'm telling you, I don't care. I don't care how much you come to worship and you read your Bibles, but if your home life is in turmoil, and if Satan is rampant in our homes, boy, it just takes our spirit away. Amen. And we need some help, and that God has some help for us. He has some help for us, and I was twixt in between and how to approach this. I know we've heard many lessons on the family, and you pray for me. I've been, reading the Bible. The Bible is my primary text. And I've read some thoughts from other gentlemen who deal with the family. Today I want to borrow some of the thoughts from Erwin Lutzer, who is a minister not of the Church of Christ, but and he gives some thoughts, and I just want to borrow a few of his thoughts. And I say that in all honesty to first of all admit that I don't have all the answers. In no way. And you know, some of us as preachers, we like to think that every sermon originated from us, but they didn't. But they need to be based in the Word of God. And these are definitely my notes, and I do some reading for thoughts and how to kind of approach some subjects. And so I want you to stay with me this morning. And of course, I know everybody wants us to speak specifically to our needs. We can't speak specifically to your personal needs always at all times. But God is good. And the Word of God is for all of us. Amen. Amen. Even if it may not be speaking directly to you at the time, there may be some information that you can use to share, to strengthen you, to encourage you, or even to encourage others. But every person is born into a family network. Every person. It's the way God made it. A network, a system. Usually there's a father, a mother, brothers and sisters, but certainly not always. And some of our situations are unique. But how we relate in this network, in this system, to a large extent will determine eventually how we live our lives. How we operate in a marriage, how we raise our kids, our beliefs. Every action or inaction by the guardians of the family will affect the family. Every action. There are certain advantages, disadvantages, exposures, experiences that come simply because you're in the family that you're in. And when you're born in the family, you don't have nothing to do with it. You can't change what family you were born in. So there has to come some point where you resolve that this is my family. And ain't nothing you can do about it. You know, some of us, you know, we're born in family. Some of us in here right now may have never lived in an apartment. Never lived in an apartment. Not because of your own doing. Just because you were born in a family that had a mom or dad or somebody that well off enough to live in a house all the time. Some in here have never lived in a house, an established house in a neighborhood. Some we need to remember that when we react and when we interact with each other. Amen. And we know better. I know better. You know better. And some of us might think it's an advantage, but it ends up being a disadvantage. You know, some children are so spoiled they don't know what poor is, and think that they are poor. They don't know what poor is. Yeah, they have everything at their disposal, and they complain even by what they have. Yeah, so but you know, some of us in our families we flown on. Some of us in here right now, would you believe there are many in here who never flown on an airplane before? Some who fly all over the country. Some have never been out of the country. Some who never hardly been out the city of Houston before, simply because of their situation, their environment, what they're in. But then there is at the same time individuality, you know, individuality. And after reaching a certain age, we have individual expression, individual choices. And when we get to that point, we can either embrace or reject our family system. We make our own choices, and for one, say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that if I live long enough, I'm not just locked in to my family system if the family system is dysfunctional. Amen. But I tell you what, thank the Lord for families who got some sense. And you don't want to reject that system because it's a system that may not be perfect. Lord have mercy, but it's better than some of this stuff that's out here right now. And I want to take a close look it's kind of it's a little negative in the beginning. It's a little negative, but But see, the problem is, especially when we're doing series like this, the problem is, see, you got to deal with the problems that's going on. You know, the dysfunctionality that goes on in our family. And none of us are exempt because we all got crazy folk. Excuse me. We all got something wrong in our families. Amen. And can I get even a little bit more personal? There's something wrong with you. And me. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And if you hang around us long enough, you'll see what's wrong with us. Lord have mercy. And so everybody get on the same page. Please get off your high horse. Please don't say, go, yeah, Brother Gary, hammer that down. Don't do that, because sometimes it's on your street also. But that King David, some of you know the story of King David, I'm gonna just do it, and a lot of spiritual movement. I have to stop when it's time to stop. But some of you don't know the story of David, King David. He's a young lad, man, the young boy, faithful to God, did mighty wondrous works, killed Goliath, became king of Israel, and then you know he got beside himself, and he went wayward, and Lord have mercy, poor David. And he had two terrible sins. Anybody got some terrible sins? Yeah. One was adultery. It's not new. One was adultery. The other was murder. Lord have mercy. Yeah, the other was murder. And God punished him. God punished him. He told him through the prophet Nathan that the sword is not going to depart from your house. David, you brought this on yourself. That's what he said. That's basically what he told David. You brought this on yourself. Yeah, you know, some of us are here right now. The situation that we're in is hard on us. It's hard on us. You know, but we might as well look in the mirror and tell the truth about it. If we need to tell the truth about it. You know, we need to tell the truth about it. There's no need to blame me blaming somebody else for something I did. I mean, you know. I mean, do you agree with that? Yeah. Own up. I want to say man up, but I want to say everybody up. Yeah. See, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he told him there's going to be trouble, David, in your family. Sins you've committed, they're going to affect your whole family. And this was thousands of years ago, but this is true today. We do know that we are not an island to ourselves. I'm first of all, we first of all directing this to all of us. But you know, God starts off with the man. Eve ate of the fruit, but God didn't ask for Eve first. Yeah. And so I might as well start there. And I'm just starting with David. And he said, David, you brought this on your family. And God's word came true. I want to examine because I believe there's much to learn from examining when the dominoes started falling for David. I want to examine part of it. If you're alive on this earth, know this, that no matter how you arrived on this earth, what family you in, how you came here, whether you got a mom or dad, whether you were born out of duress situations, God loves you. See, you gotta have that in your mind to be able to, in our world. See, David said, I paraphrase, some of you know the story of David, but not everybody in here knows it. But David had a man killed that he had adultery with his wife, and he had the husband killed. He had adultery with the wife, And you know what? God punished him, but God spared his life. And see, listen, now you can say what you will or may. Some of us have done some things that's been so outlandish. But if you here today, if you watching by way of television, if you sitting up, if you got the right use of your mind, you need to say, God is good. Yeah, you need to admit that God really could have taken you out. Surely could have taken David out, but God didn't take David out. You know what? He got the lady pregnant, Bathsheba. He got her pregnant. They had a baby. And here come trouble in David's house. The baby died. Distraught. Bathsheba distraught. David distraught. But guess what? She got pregnant again. And she has Solomon. And you know, Solomon, God allowed him to marry this woman. He married Bathsheba, although he had otherwise. But he married her. God allowed him to have. See, sometimes with us right now, God, we messed up bad. We've done some things, but God's still allowing us to get up, go to work, eat. You got a car. You got a house. You got a portion of your health and strength. You better take advantage of it is what you better do. And stop whining and complaining about what situation you're in right now. They had a child. His name was Solomon. So really, Lord have mercy, man, you would think, boy, you wasn't even supposed to be here. But this is what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Then David comforted his wife. This is after the first child died. He went into her, lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and he named him Solomon. Man, listen to what the scripture says. Now the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon. Some of our kids ain't had nothing to do with what happened in our city. And some of us got here in a funny way. Without me going through all the details. Some of us was the other child. Well, yeah, you shouldn't be. Yes, I should. Because we're living in the world. I've seen in the church. I know sometimes you want to go find your biological father and you got all these issues and you want trying to find. First of all, know that if you're here on this earth, God loves you. Amen. And sometimes you find whoever it is you think you're looking for, then you really don't want to find them. Anyway, amen, somebody. But God loves. God loves Solomon. And don't waste all your life trying to make somebody else love you. Because, you know, I'm glad I got my heart broke when I was younger. Got my heart broke a couple times. You know, it's a bad thing to be chasing somebody that don't want to be with you. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you wasting a whole lot of time. So sooner you get over that, the better. Amen. You know that God loves you. Go on about your business. Do take care of your business. They'll want you back. And you know what? You won't even want them. That was free for you. But after David's mistakes, after he made his mistakes, David, he didn't respond well. He didn't respond well. He did what many fathers do. You know, he became a passive father, inactive. I know he was in depression. I know God told him that the trouble was going to come to his house. But you got to see the way he acted. He became very, very passive. And, you know, that's what guilt will do for you. Guilt will put you in a shell. It'll make you unproductive. You'll be in depression and you sit on your heels and you just feel like you're not worthy. But if you're here, God got you here for a reason. Amen. Yeah. He became passive. And you know, passive fathers have certain characteristics. And David, he had all the characteristics of a passive father. Extreme to an extreme degree. See, a passive father oftentimes he has anger. Anger, he just walks, just internal anger. But it's anger without action. And then when the action is negative action. And David, he was angry. But see, a lot of time the anger leads to doing nothing. And he's too passive. And I want you to read a couple of accounts. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And we begin at verse 1. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. See, David had more sons and daughters. Now, David had multiple wives. And that day under the Old Testament, God tolerated multiple wives for, seems like, the royalty, the kings. He tolerated, but it didn't seem like God endorsed it. You know, David's daddy was, David's son, Solomon, he had 700 wives. Lord have mercy, how he did that, I still don't know. Yeah. But his wives led him away from God. Yeah, his wives was and David had multiple wives, and he had many children, and so we won't, that's not this lesson. But now under the new covenant, brothers, don't get it twisted. Yeah, don't get it twisted, because in Corinthians chapter 7 it says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband. Just one. You can't handle two or three, no way. You can't handle that many wives. But David did. And listen to this episode. This is after some of the kids got of age a little bit in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. 2 Samuel 13, 1. Now it was after this that Absalom, one of David's sons, beautiful son, the son of David, had a beautiful sister, Tamar, whose name was Tamar. Yeah, Tamar. Absalom, David had beautiful children. But you know, there used to be a song, I don't know who, Smokey Robinson said, beauty is only skin deep. Who was it? Temptation. Oh, excuse me, brother, I didn't get it wrong. Temptation. Brother, say Temptation, Buck Harris. I'm sorry. Yeah. But listen, sometimes beauty can be a curse. See, some of us want, I wish I looked like so-and-so. You know how you know that? Just be glad you look like you look. Yeah. Absalom, the scripture says, I believe it's in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 25, says, Absalom had no defect on him. Now, he was, boy, he must. But you know, you draw attention to yourself when you, yeah. Some people can't handle that. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, David had another son, a half-son, half-brother to Absalom and Tamar. Amnon would be David's oldest son. He loved Tamar. You know, in our houses, things go on. Sometimes these children, boy, you don't know what be going on. And then now, we in homes now, we have blended families. We bring families together. You better watch what's going on. In your families, amen. Don't go to sleep in your family, because children, you know, have all kind of thoughts, and somebody got to be guiding them in the right way, amen. But if you're sitting back just watching, just where their children gonna be, children, foolishness is in children. Somebody have to train them. And Amnon, the Bible says Amnon the son of David loved her. He loved Tamar, and that's his half sister. Now you're not supposed to be messing with your half sister, even under the old law. Amnon was so frustrated because of his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything to her. And so Amnon, his friend, came to him to devise his trick, and Amnon tricked Tamar to coming in. And listen to 2 Samuel chapter 30. I know, Brother Gary, this is stuff for the tabloid. This is in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 12. But she answered him. This is, listen, after this was divided. Tamar answered Amnon, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? As for you, you will be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king. That's your daddy. For he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not listen to her, since he was stronger than her. He violated her, and he raped the girl. She pleaded with him, don't do it. He did it. He raped her, then he wanted to get rid of her. Some of this you have to read on your own. I have time to read it all. Then he wanted to get rid of her. He raped her, and then he didn't want to be with it. Sisters, you need to hear that. Some guys will break their neck. They will buy you everything for you to do what they want to do. just to get you in bed. And after they get you in bed, and after they get finished, they can get up and leave. Forget about you like you don't mean. That's free also. But you need to remember that one, sisters. He'll work hard to do that. Oh, have mercy. Boy, I tell you what, some of these boys need a strap. Well, no, maybe not. Let me quit talking to myself. And then Tamar, she so hurt, so depressed, and so humiliated. She goes out crying. And she, Absalom, sees her. Did your brother violate you? Yes. Tamar, she stays with Absalom, goes into, says she was desolate, lived like a widow, lived in Absalom, didn't hardly come out, totally depressed. I know some of you are asking the same question I'm asking. What are parents? Did somebody? Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 21. Verse 21, 2 Samuel. Now when King David, notice this, heard of these matters, he was very angry. But David did nothing. See, in our homes, you know, we only get one shot at this thing. You know, these kids, I tell you, they don't stay young very long. That time go by so fast. And some things you can't let. Some things got to be dealt with. Some things affect all the way down the line. Everybody. David got mad. I need to go get with David. He may have been, you know, man, all the dirt out. This is what God said was going to happen. And, you know, and he just resolved to do absolutely nothing. A lot of times, you know, we're not perfect. And some of us, sometimes we don't discipline our kids because we remember what we used to do. That ought to be more reason why for you to discipline them. Yeah, I remember when I was his age, I did the same thing. So you just going to watch? That's going to be your excuse? Yeah, you used to steal out the store, your son's stealing, and you're not saying nothing, no repercussions? Listen to this, verse 22. But Absalom did not speak to Amnon either good or bad. Now, this is Absalom's brother. He knew what happened, and he's boiling over inside. And I don't know why he didn't do anything immediately. Maybe in his mind he was saying, Daddy gonna do something. Daddy gonna do something. Daddy need to do something. Maybe he was waiting on Daddy to do something. For Absalom hated Amnon in his sight. He hated his own brother because he violated his sister. Now it came about after 2 full years. All this time, David is mad, but he's no record in the Bible that David consoled his daughter, that he talked to Absalom to cool him down. He didn't say nothing to him. And here Tamar is suffering. She's in depression. Daddy, should you think David would have went into Tamar and said, baby, some baby, I know, in these days, when a woman was violated, she was an outcast. And if Absalom knew it, more people knew it. And she was embarrassed and wouldn't come out. You would think David would have went in to say, baby, it's going to be all right. Daddy going to be here. I don't care what nobody else say. You still my girl. I love you, baby. You're going to be all right. Daddy going to take care of you. But he didn't say that. He didn't do anything. Two full years went by. And you know what happens in dysfunctional families? If the father is too passive, then the kids begin to take responsibility for what's happening in the family if they're old enough. You know, you've seen it over and over again. Lord have mercy. There are some of our children seem like got more sense than we do. But get who you talk to, I don't know. Sometimes our kids make most sense. And you know what? They shouldn't even be put in a position where they have to make some of the decisions that they make. But we're living in the real world. I know they don't know everything that went on. I know they don't know all of what happened in the past. But children shouldn't be put in that position to make grown-up decisions before their time. They're going to have enough time to do that. Yeah, and 2 years goes by. And it's still burning in Absalom. I imagine every time he saw his brother, look at him. I ought to kill him right now. And he didn't kill him, but he was scheming. You know, it's amazing how creative people can get when they want to get back and do something evil. Listen to verse 28 at 2 Samuel 13:20. Absalom commanded his servants, saying, "See now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then you put him to death. Do not fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." And the servants of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose and each mounted his mule and fled. Absalom invited all his brothers to a feast, invited them to a feast, and he already had it planned that he was going to kill Amnon. And his servants did just what he said. And you know what? Listen now. Listen, that's why none of us are on the island. People know what's going on. All the other David's other brothers were there and saw what happened. They ran when they saw what happened, because they might thought that Absalom might kill us too. Yeah. I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what the boys were talking about, what they were saying. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I saw it. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. Lord, I mean, now with all this coming on the family, we're buried. People going to talk about us. And be, you know, I don't even want to. I wish I could change my name. So our kids talk. And I know what you may be thinking right now, too, is that surely now David's going to do something. David's going to confront the situation now that got out of control. And surely, now he, his son, he killed my baby. Now my son killed his son. Listen to chapter 13, verse 31. Then the king arose. He tore his clothes. He lay on the ground. And all his servants were standing with him, standing by him with clothes. David got so angry. He tore his clothes. He lay on the ground. But again, he didn't do nothing. He didn't do anything else. Oh, he must have been hurting. Must have been confused. He must have just rehearsed all of what he'd done in the past. And, oh, the Lord is whipping me. The Lord is whipping me. I don't know what to do. But you still here, David. You still daddy. You still king. Notice, you still have power. Absalom is still living. You got other boys, David. David, you're not going to do nothing. Verse 37. Now Absalom fled and went to Talmah, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. David was a basket case. Basket case. We can be a basket case going through the motions, you know, even going to work and, you know, we walk around in a daze, in a haze, you know, and really, if you tell the truth about it, we just exist. But Gary, this is too. I know it. Yeah. So Absalom had fled. He went to Geshur. And was there 3 years. 3 years he left. The scripture says in verse 39, the heart of the king longed to go out to Absalom. His son gone, killed one son, and he's mourning. And he want to see his, I want to see my son. This says, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he was dead. Now he's gotten to the point where, you know, Amnon is gone, and really probably he might have deserved what he got. And now he's gotten over that, but he want to see Absalom. And his heart is longing for Absalom, but he still wouldn't, he wouldn't reach out. You know, when sometimes, I don't know, we are worse enemies. Because we won't open our mouth. We won't talk. We won't communicate. We don't say nothing. And people are hurting all around us. Because we so locked up. But he wanted to say something. But he didn't know what to say. Sometimes you might not know what to say, but say something. Say, I don't know what to say. Yeah. 3 years go by. So he's, you know what? One of his chief, I don't have it in my notes, Joab, his chief. He sees David hurting. And he know he needs to see his son. He devised a plan, and he devised a plan. Say, David, you need to bring this boy back. You read it for yourself. And David said, bring him back. Our big headed. Our pride gonna hurt, kill us. I don't want to show no weakness. You weak. You might well show it. So he tells Joab, bring him back. And notice this. Joab brings him back. Brings Absalom back. And listen to this in 2 Samuel 14. Okay, this clock is right. Okay, up here. 2 Samuel 14, verse 28. Now Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem. That's where David was, in Jerusalem. And did not see the king's face. Now, he'd been gone 3 years. Joab bring him back. Joab brings him back in the city. And David still didn't let him see him. Still wouldn't see his boy. I don't know. I guess things happen in families. Things that are so hurting, and, you know, sometimes kids do things, sometimes parents do things, things happen that really crush us. But you do know life is short, don't you? You know, some things crush us, and you know what? They crush us so bad, then God allows something to happen to put things in perspective, like a funeral. And we come to the funeral, sitting on the pews. Just start reflecting, and we cried. Say, Lord, this. And you start thinking about really what really happened, and how silly. I want to use the word stupid, but act like I didn't say it. How silly some of the stuff that we mad about. You know, you bought one kid a blue shirt, and you bought the other one a pink one, and you mad because you know he liked her better than he would have bought me a blue one too. Excuse me? They didn't have no more blue ones. I don't know. I'm just, you know, with some of the stuff we. And then some, and listen, some things you don't know all the reasons why, but they bring him back. He's there 2 years. Watch this now. See, listen. Listen to verse 32. No, excuse me, verse 29. Absalom sent for Joab, the chief. He says, to send him to the king. He says, Joab, send me to my dad. I want to talk to my daddy. But he wouldn't come to him. So he sent again a second time. But he would not come. Dave, what's wrong with you? You got that much pride just because you came? You worry about what everybody else think? Therefore, he said to his servant, see, Job's field is next to mine. This is Absalom talking. He has barley there. Go and set it on fire. So Absalom's servant set the field. Listen. Absalom set the field on fire. He said, he won't come. I'll get his attention. Children do some strange things to get our attention when we don't pay them attention. Sometimes they just cry, holler, scream. You sitting there. Sometimes we sitting in our own house and don't pay our children attention. And then, you know, kids are starting, what you crying about? What's wrong with it? I don't know what's wrong with it. Beating stuff, hitting stuff, tearing up stuff, climbing on things, turning things over. Why? Because they want you to sit down and say, patty cake, patty cake. They don't want nothing. They don't want you to buy them nothing. They just want to look in your eyes. They want to see you look at them. They just want to be with you. This man is grown. He is not a child, and he longs for his daddy. He sets a field on fire. Some of our kids, some of our people are in jail because of things they've done to get our attention. Then Job rose, came to Absalom at his house and said to him, why have you servants set my field on fire? Absalom answered Job, behold, I sent for you, saying, come here, that I may see, that you may send me to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would have been better for me to be still. He said, y'all sent me from Geshur. He said, I might as well be there. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. And if there is iniquity in me, let me be put to death. So when Joab came to the king and told him, he called for Absalom. The king called for Absalom. Praise the Lord. Daddy got a little sense. Thus he came to the king. Look at this. Prostrated. He laid out. It's not bowing on your knee. He stretched out on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. 5 years gone by. I don't know the situation. I'm just thinking about my. There have been a couple of times that, Lord, I could have lost my girls. I could have lost them. I sure could have lost them. I could have lost my girls. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. Me and KB, both of us. And I know some of you may be saying, in this instance, in the scripture context, it doesn't tell you about the mothers. Of course, you had more than one mother. Maybe the mother, because of David was the king. But see, look, at this point, David needed to take. You know what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But listen. But it's talking to the parents, but it says, but bring them up. And, you know, we think of women being nurturers, and they are truly naturally nurturers. But you know what? Daddies need to be nurturers. Bring them up in the nurture. And that's automatically that there must be. There's power in a daddy nurturing his children. Much power in that. So I didn't start off that way, but I'm just a big puppy baby. I love nurturing. My kid's grown now, but not my. I had to learn that. Well, I'm about to lose my daughter because they being hard-headed and I'm mad and you know, and okay, I can put them out forever. You know, sometimes I'll kick my kids out. They ain't never coming back. Excuse you? You really never? You don't want to ever? Do you know what that's going to do if they never? Well, Gary, they bad. You bad. Some of us were badder than them. But you know what? Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Because they need to see that in you. Because they're going to be parents one day. If you do it right, it may not be right now. But in time, they're going to appreciate daddy. Mama. Thank you for not deserting. Absalom knew he was wrong. He knew what he did was wrong, but he needed daddy. And he was messed up. He was truly messed up. Daddy allowed him to come home. But you know what? Even in this, David still was messed up. He was. I'm not just being, this is reality. I wish the story ended right there. And I say, boy, they lived happily ever after. They didn't. Because you know what? Issues weren't resolved. They weren't resolved. I'm not talking about perfection. But see, even when Absalom came back, you still don't see interaction with his daddy. His daddy, like, he let him come back. But I guess it was out of pity, but you still got to talk.
Oh, well, he better be glad he in the house. He better be glad he in my roof. He better be glad I didn't kill him.
Really? Really? No love. No interaction. So when you read the rest of the story, Absalom is there, and it's like something ain't happening. Then Absalom, time goes by. Absalom didn't stay in his house, but he stayed near his dad. Time go by. Absalom 40 years old, and he still got unresolved stuff in his mind. Daddy just, you know. And he starts devising a plan to take over his daddy's kingdom. His boy did that. And he was sharp. He was good looking. He started tricking people and telling them to serve him. He made his daddy, he tricked his daddy into giving him some more property, land. He took some of his daddy's counselors and he started tricking him. He said, look, you tell everybody that Absalom did this for you. And he wanted to become king. It got so bad. David heard about what was going on, and David left his own kingdom. This is his boy. It got so bad, they had to do something about it. Absalom was so messed up, and he wanted to ridicule his dad so bad that he slept with his daddy's concubines. Before everybody to see, trying to embarrass their kids to do things to try to embarrass us, won't they? If they don't like what's going on in the house, your kids will tell everything on you. They sure will. Especially if you think you something and you, they just, you know, but girl, why are you saying all of that? Because it's true. Because some things we can't be passive about in our families. Something we need to have a sit down. We need to have a sit down. Well, I don't even know how to start. Start like this. I love you with all of my heart. We God's children. Dad and mama, we not perfect, but we the parents. We don't have all the answers, but we need to start somewhere. I know sometimes kids are small, you can't have these necessary conversations, but some you can't just allow evil to go on in your house and you not deal with it. And Absalom, listen, there's a tragic ending. A tragic ending. except 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. Then Job said, I will not waste time here with you. So he took three spears in his hand, thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Then 10 young men who carried Job's armor gathered around and struck Absalom and killed him. The tragic ending was death for Absalom. It got that bad. And if you think things can't get that bad in your family, and this is David's response that was read in your hearing as our scripture reading in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33. The king was deeply moved. He went up to the chamber over the gate after he got news that Absalom was dead, and he wept. And thus he said as he walked, "Oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." You know, there's a reality. There are some fathers who love their children who just don't know how to express it. They don't know how to discipline. They don't know how to reconcile. And David was one of those fathers. He was. Isn't this a sad story? Yeah, we're not born with these tools to parent and guide our home. But Gary, you talking about the daddies. You talking about the daddies. I'm a single parent. I'm a single parent. Well, you father and mother. I know you didn't ask for it. I know you didn't ask for it. But what are you saying, Brother Gary? We as parents must take the role of being active in our homes. Amen. Brother Gary, I made so many mistakes. Welcome to the club. Stop rehearsing that over and over and over again. God knows you make mistakes. Other people know you make mistakes. But you're still here for a reason. And the beauty about this story is this, is that when you read the Psalms in the Old Testament, primarily most of them are at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the hands of David. David reconciling to God. I got so many lessons as I was reading this. One of the lessons is that a passive father has awesome power over his children, even when he does nothing. Another lesson is that time itself does not heal family wounds. See, some of us, we had this picture where, you know what, I'm just going to let time go by, and you know, things going to take care of themselves. No, they're not. They keep popping up. They keep coming up. Somebody's going to act. Somebody don't even know the situation will figure out what happened. And you're still going to have to address it. And then there are pains that come out in other relationships. Your children are just dysfunctional in their relationship because of things that we didn't deal with. Even when we don't know how to deal with them, say, I don't know how to deal with it. And ask God for some help. Children can rarely fix parent problems. And if there's some young ones in here, there are some those who you have aged in here, and you've taken on all of the load of what went on in your house, then I understand, I know that the love is there. But listen, God is not going to hold you responsible for not raising your parents right. So that load you can't carry all of. Yes, and I know it's a difficult situation, and I know it must be hard, and I know it must be painful, but what you need to do is start working on yourself. Amen. Brother Gary, David was an awful daddy. David did some things right. See, the remedy for all mistakes, for all deficiencies, listen to Psalms chapter 51. I'm going to end with this. Verse 1. It starts with us.
stars of our relationship with God. You see, this is godly counsel. I don't know. See, you said, but I need to go to a counselor. You need to make sure it's the right one. See, I don't know if a counselor, a quote-unquote counselor, going to give you this. And David recognized that the ultimate counselor is God. It is only God who can really wipe our slate clean. And David recognized that, and he said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to you, the greatness of your compassion. Yeah, but because see, I just can't never forgive. I know we say that. I don't care what nobody say. I can't get over it. How my daddy, how my mom, I just hate them. I hate them. We're praying for you. I hope you don't take that hate into your marriage. I hope you're not that hard on somebody when they make a mistake. I hope you're not that evil. I hope you're not that vindictive. I hope you're not that unforgiving, because God is not. Greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgression. See, maybe that's what we need to say to our children. Son, I messed up. I made mistakes. Lord, if you knew everything, I'm just embarrassed to tell you the things that I have done. Someone said, well, yeah, they need to tell you, need to tell your children everything. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, you remember when you smoked weed 2 days straight? Don't tell your children that. Because they'll see. They'll go out and try. What you saying, Brother Gary? See, but ask God for forgiveness. He says this, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse. This is David. This is the one that you, when you heard that story, you said, man, Lord should have killed David. But he didn't. Notice this, and he haven't done nothing to you yet. Because you're still listening and you're still here, and God is still good and he's gracious. So maybe you need to come off you. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. What are you saying, Brother Gibb? See, the devil wants to sift us like wheat. He don't care nothing about us, nothing about our families, nothing about our kids, he don't care if they go to college, he don't care if they're gonna get a job, he don't care nothing about us. And God does, and he's always reaching, he wants us to solidify our families. No, the other side of this is when we do it God's way. See, I don't have a problem. Now of course, now my girls are grown. I keep saying they're grown, but I just seem like they still. Why is that? Y'all didn't tell me about this. Because, see, I've learned. See, I don't have these barriers anymore. You know, if I make a mistake. If I do something wrong, I say, you know what I say? Even with my wife now, I say, you know what, baby? I'm sorry. Everybody in there say, I'm sorry. I know some of you say, but girl, I ain't got nothing to say, I'm sorry. Yes, you do. See, stop trying to make folk think you perfect. You're not perfect. I want God's blessings for my family. But we got to talk. I ain't no talker. You talk. You do talk. I know. I'm not. I don't like to talk a whole. Maybe I put me down and tell a lie. I don't like to talk a lot. But you know, see, Daddy, you got your kids for a little while.
Talk to them.
Well, Gary, it just ain't never really worked like that in the past. We're talking about the future.
Heal. Some of them are waiting on you right now. Heal some wounds. Don't let the stuff ball up like an Absalom. You in the house and you all this animosity that it's just building and building and building because you won't sit down and just have a. How do I do it, Brother Garrett? Just sit down, sit down, son, daughter, baby. No, seriously, just talk to me. Just say that. Talk to me. Say, baby, Dad, I know you know I'm not a great communicator, but I just want you to know that let's talk. I want you to tell me what you really feel. And when they start talking, don't you? That ain't true. You just lying.
Be quiet. Just listen. Listen to them. I know you got all answers, but listen to them.
And sometimes that's all they want to do is talk. You don't have to say, well, you know what? I got this figured out. I just know just what to do. You don't have to figure nothing out.
I'm telling you, I learned a long time ago a lot of stuff my daughter talk about. I be saying,
what's it? Now, what you feel about that? And I said, yeah. And when they get through, I'm like, I can't help them. but just the fact that you just sit there and you listen for 15 minutes, that's a miracle right there. And you know what? They go away and say, my daddy loves me. I'm going to be all right. What are you saying, Brother Gary? Our family's hurting, church. I know it's quiet in here, and I know this this wasn't down everybody's street, but if things going good in your family, you better thank the Lord. It ain't by accident. Wives in here, don't be going hunching your husband. Don't get a tape and set it on his desk. Don't re-preach the lesson. Leave it alone. We don't operate like that. Yeah. Notice this. I say wives, but some of us as mothers, even as single parents, we are not open enough with we don't talk enough with our parents. We're letting too much get by. That's right. In our homes. And it comes back and it bites us over and over again. But God is good. He's merciful, and I don't care what the situation is, you can still, see, listen, all that David did wrong, you can still get right with God. Boy, I'm so glad I serve God. I'm so glad. This morning I prayed, I said, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Purify my heart. Keep it pure, Lord. Please help me, Lord. Help me to preach. Help me to teach your word. Help me to live right. Lord, don't embarrass me. Please, Lord, please be merciful to me. Please, I need you every day. You hear today, you need to be a child of God. It's the beginning of your life. He forgives all sins, but not if you don't submit to his will. Thou faith is impossible. Pleasing me that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. You got to repent of your sins. You must confess Christ, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And then let's stay in this race. Church, our family's here. Let's fight. It's worth it. Fight for our kids. Fight for our marriages. Fight for our homes. Fight for joy in our it's worth it. Somebody need to come to Jesus. Come right now.
If you just ask the Savior to help you, he will comfort, strengthen, and keep you. I know Jesus is willing to aid you, and my Jesus will carry you through. Oh, well, yield not to...